If it's not on, you need to push the button until it turns green, I think.
It's green, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Neil Clark. I'm at 2069 West Soldotna Street in CUNA, in the Denali subdivision. I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you for a few minutes. I don't have a staff that works for me to do all of the bookwork, and I only have a staff of one, and I only work part-time on it, like a couple hours occasionally. So I don't have all the information that we had just seen. It would have been nice to have some of that information. I know government regulations are a minimum standard about how many people need to be notified and how far away from the projects they are. And I place that responsibility on those that can adjust that, because I think most of the people in Denali would have had many of their questions and fears allayed and mollified if we had more information. But be that as it may, I learned a long time ago that as a parent, I always wanted to say yes unless I had to say no. So sometimes you can say, most of the time you can say yes, but sometimes you've got to say no, and you've got to balance and weigh the situation. As a planning commission, you've got two jobs. Your first job is to protect existing residents from agencies who want to change material of their lifestyle. And the other job you have is to protect those agencies who want to change things from the residents who don't want any change. And it's a competing balance there, and you always have to do that. You have everybody, there are compelling interests from many people, and you have to weigh and balance the compelling interests that people have and the impacts that it has, you have on people's lives. And I heard Lauren McLean, mayor of Boise, make a statement on the news. It's fundamental. I wrote it down. And she said, we've got to make these changes in our communities without materially impacting the quality or the condition of life in the existing neighborhoods. And we have to do that in such a way that satisfies the competing interests that everybody has. So that's why I'm here. I'm neutral on it, because I know that has to happen. The property owners that have land to sell, they have a right. The construction companies, they have a right. And the residents that live nearby, they have rights. And we need to comprehend all of those. So I have a few suggestions that I want to propose that help deal with the compelling rights and also try to do things in such a way that don't change materially the lives of those people that have been living in Denali Heights for quite a while. My first one is I'm not happy with the boundary interface between Braeburn and Denali Heights. Denali Heights has 9 houses along its northern boundary. They're pretty good-sized houses. I'm not one of those houses. I don't live on that street. But right across that fence, we've got 15 or 16. I couldn't quite count. I couldn't find the plat online. So the houses are, even though the lots may be the similar size, the houses are, the housing density in one direction, east to west, is more. So there's going to be more houses visible and interacting with Denali the way the thing is set up. In a normal condition, if Denali had more houses along there, that'd be perfectly okay. But that changes materially the impact on the people living on that street, I think. And so I'm going to suggest that we relook at that. And I'm happy to, if somebody from Tall Brothers wants to contact me, I'm happy to talk to them about it. I'd love to talk to them about it and see what can be done. I don't know if this is a late stage or an early stage, but it's the stage we're at right now. The second thing is that it is a material change in the lifestyle of Denali Heights to have a housing project of 114 houses. At best, that's only 2 times the number of cars that are going to be in there. And the neighborhoods that are around me, some of those houses have 3, 4, 5 and more cars per house. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I don't want Yenlo to be open. I want that to be blocked. And I know that there are agencies who already have designated that as a connector. I don't accept the fact that it is a fait accompli, that it cannot be changed. And I think that's something that can be done. There's plenty of connectivity for Braeburn through the other main roads coming in and out of there. And it would help retain the quality of life and the situation of life that we've had in Denali. And if that can't be gated, then some mitigating contrivance, a speed bumps or something, to give people more of a motivation to go out onto school or up to the other exit main routes out of Braeburn.
Okay. Thank you. Everybody has 3 minutes.
Okay,
so
great.
It's fair for everybody.
Thank you.
But we do have your letter with all of your bullet points here as well.
Love to talk to anybody about it if they want. Give me a call. That's why I put it on there. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Then next we have listed Jeff Adams. Can you please step forward and state your name and address for the record, please?
Jeff Adams, 9155 South Perfect Lane. I am in the subdivision to the west of this project, which consists of seven 10-acre lots. So this subdivision doesn't fit in my neighborhood at all, unless they want to put a lot fewer houses over there. So I did provide a list of items that we would like to see amended in this whole subdivision. I submitted that to Planning and Zoning on Wednesday, so you should have it in your packet there somewhere. But anyway, I guess agree with the previous speaker that they own the property. They should have a right to do something with it, but at the same time, they need to be considerate to those of us that have been there for quite a while. I'm relatively new in the neighborhood. I've only been there 8 years, but there are some folks here that have been there 20 years and had a relatively rural lifestyle until all of these big subdivisions started coming in. Since I've been there, the amount of traffic on Meridian Road, it used to be a handful of cars out there when I left for work in the morning, and now it's a solid line of traffic. On Hubbard, it backs up sometimes from Linder to Meridian Road almost. I mean, it's getting kind of crazy. And I know that there are multiple subdivisions to the north of that will probably want to take advantage of that school lane being punched through eventually. So that's all going to be driving right by a house that used to have a dead-end cul-de-sac there on Perfect Lane. So it's going to increase the amount of traffic past my house multiple exponentials from what it used to be. And I know that Toll Brothers is a Fortune 500 company. In 2021, they made just under $9 billion in revenue. I think that a company that has that kind of revenue has deep enough pockets to help accommodate some of the requests that we've made in here, lightening up some of the houses on those borders would be great. Would help lessen the impact on us. It wouldn't eliminate it, but it would help reduce the impact on it. Some of the other things that I put in my request would be that they kind of share that buffer space, because I know that eventually somebody's going to want to widen school the whole way, and they're going to take up Perfect Lane, and that's going to put traffic right against my fence. And I've asked that they take that 20-foot buffer, cut it down to 10 feet on their side. In that way, in the future, we'd have 10 feet of buffer on our side so that traffic isn't right against my fence, because the way they've got it designed right now, that's exactly what would happen when that road eventually gets constructed. So you can read the rest of that stuff if you take the time to do that. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, I have listed Bruce Salem.
Salmon like the fish.
I live at 9251 South Perfect Lane. And my concerns are kind of the same as Jeff's. We live on Perfect Lane. In fact, Toll Brothers kept talking about developing Perfect Lane. I think they're developing School Road, which is adjacent to Perfect Lane. But my concerns are primarily to do with the increased traffic. You know, Hubbard has had a lot of increase in traffic. There's a school right at the corner there of Hubbard and School Road. And you have traffic regularly going by Hubbard at 45, which is the speed limit, and oftentimes at 50 and 55. And one of my biggest concerns is this School Road is going to be just a little throughway there with no driveways, so I can see people going up that road at 45, 50 miles an hour. And you have that road being used by a lot of people walking their dogs, a lot of children riding their bikes out there. I just think it could be a real dangerous thing. And then the density When Toll Brothers first communicated with all the neighbors in January, they sent a letter to everybody and told us that we could come and learn about their project. And I think a lot of people in Denali probably looked at this and goes, well, I guess, you know, development is development. But they told everybody in their letter it was going to be R4 zoning and 114 homes. And now their plan is R6 zoning and 130 homes. It just seems like they are doing everything they can to increase the density there, which doesn't fit the neighborhood. It doesn't fit Denali. It doesn't fit the Cloverdale Estate, which is the development there west of School Road. And nor does it really fit in with the ones north of it. So I think that it would be prudent to just look at this again and say, well, maybe we need to cut back the density and do what they said in the original letter, which was to put in parks, playgrounds, and a pool, and have the density a little bit lower. And that would be my position. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Now, next I have listed in opposition and marked to testify Larry Angel. I'm sure I messed that up as well. You just state your name and address for the record, please.
Thank you, Chairman, and other members of the City CUNA. My name is Larry Angel. I live in Denali Heights. I live on South Dovia Street in Denali. Our children and grandchildren grew up and graduated from CUNA High School. Our great-grandchildren are going to be born here, raised up. We moved into Denali Heights thinking, oh, this is our dream home. This is our dream neighborhood. It was the prestige neighborhood of CUNA at the time that we moved into there. Since that time, it has changed a little bit. Right now, I'm having problems with our irrigation. It used to be no problems, but now we have no pressure. We've tried different times of the day, of the night, and I'm not alone. A lot of our neighbors are having the same issues with just the irrigation part of it. We love our neighborhood because the children have a chance to run out and up and down the streets. It's very family-oriented. We have a pool, we have a clubhouse, and so forth. Which is very nice. The Braeburn Creek subdivision, I'm not against other subdivisions coming in. My goodness, we've got tons of them coming up here in CUNA. CUNA has changed tremendously. I grew up in Idaho. My grandfather was born in Idaho. My father was born on a homestead in Nampa. What I'm concerned about with the Braeburn is it doesn't quite fit. The southern section of it, phase number two, is nothing but houses. 90% of all their common area is at the north side, which is not accessible from the south side other than through the one street, which they propose to be School Street. And it's my understanding it's only going to be 1.5 car lengths wide, not even wide enough for two cars to go up and down the street until they take over Perfect Lane, which is a private road. They're going to have to change the utilities and do all that, which would be fine perhaps if they do that. Our streets in CUNA are already too small. I can't wait for them to catch up with the growth that we have. So I would like to see something changed in the lower section. The lower section is going to have access mainly through my subdivision and through Seldovia Street, which used to be the high end of the Seldovia subdivision. There's going to be a ton of traffic now going up through to access that whole lower section because there is no other access to the east side of that. To the west is the only access to it. And if they were not going to cross over the canal, the south section is actually isolated from the north section. So even the people in the south section, all those homes that are just nothing but homes, aren't going to be able to get up to visit the clubhouse or the park or the other subdivisions there. I'd like to see it split up a little bit more, maybe something more to the south, or consider some other access. And perhaps I don't have all that information correct, but those are the feelings that I have with that. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to express our views on that, and I have no qualms. I would just like to see it change back to an R4 where they have a clubhouse, and perhaps their own swimming pool, so that we don't have to share our already too small of a swimming pool with them. Thank you for your time, and all for all you do, too.
Thank you. Okay. Next, I have listed Steve Hurd.
Hi, my name is Steve Hurd. I'm at 2299 West Saguan in Denali Heights. Originally, our letter said, as stated, they were proposing R4 zoning. I thought that was pretty dense then compared to our subdivision, but I accepted it. They were proposing a large park and a swimming pool and a clubhouse. which now, according to these plans, are completely gone, and as of the last meeting at the library as well. At that time, I requested some additional information from Toll Brothers, provided my name and my address, and haven't heard a word until I got this in the mail. Access to Braeburn Subdivision, several people have mentioned it, a lot of the problems. My problem with it is the school road. My back fence is along school road, proposed school road. And based on some numbers that I did, there's going to be a significant amount of traffic on that skinny road that's going down through there. A lane and a half is what I'm come to with the easement, the sidewalks, and the road to the center where the ditch is. So they're proposing 114 added homes. The average homes in Idaho have two cars. In our subdivision, several have a lot more. That'd be 228 vehicles a day coming and going. They don't usually go and come. It's usually twice, three, four times a day. They leave their house and they come back. This is in addition to traffic from 269 existing homes that Mason Creek offers exclusive access to 10 Mile. Using the formula that I've used to figure that, making two trips, 728 cars that are going to be going down Mason Creek Road to 10 Mile with no stoplight, with Silver Creek Elementary to the north, with that being its primary access is onto Mason Creek Road. A lot of kids run around. This will bring a lot more kids. That'll be their school, so there will be a lot of walking to school. And I think that third of a mile, half a mile down school road is going to be crazy. Like stated before, people aren't going to be doing 35 miles an hour or 20 miles an hour. They're going to be doing 40 miles an hour because there's no traffic coming into that road. The three ways into this subdivision. Yenlo at the top of Denali Heights has been an area of concern because when it bottlenecks at 10 Mile, people are waiting in a long line to try to get out on 10 Mile because there's no stoplights or anything. Or they're going down Perfect Lane, can't get out there either. Guess where they're going to come? They're going to come right through the subdivision. And it doesn't show a plot of our subdivision, but it's not exactly a straight shot. There are several corners. I live on one of those corners, to the outside of one of those corners. And people are going to be driving fast through there. One of my suggestions also was speed bumps, but not just speed bumps into Denali Heights. Maybe a couple more speed bumps into Denali Heights and speed bumps down Perfect Lane until the time that it's expanded to where it's School Avenue. And it has full three-lane access all the way down.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate your comments. Okay. Next, I have listed testify Kristen Beckett.
I appreciate your listening to us today. Christian Beckett, 9251 South Perfect Lane. There were a couple different things that came up in the introduction that I had some questions about. Ultimately, though, I'm against this. They pitched it one thing. It's kind of a bait and switch, right? We're going to come in and pitch you R4 and try and get everybody excited about this. And then they come out and they say, oh, no, we really want R6. And the neighborhood that is Denali, I mean, what are they? They're R3, R2. I mean, those are larger lots, right? And so those homes have a value that Toll Brothers is trying to exploit. They're trying to exploit it because those homes have a higher value, and they want to go ahead and sell out at an R6 level so they can go ahead and get more profit per one of those things while also depressing the value of the homes in Denali. Irrespective of that, we're on the other side over on Perfect Lane. I have kids. I've got six kids. They play out there on the roads, right? They play out there on the streets. These are quiet places. We walk up and down the street. It's a quarter mile from the door, from the driveway down to get the mail. The difference is now all of a sudden you have these cars driving up and down it with what? With what restrictions? There are zero restrictions that they're proposing. This road's going to be right up against a fence that people right now in Denali, they access with a walking path. They walk up and down there with their dogs. What are we going to do with them? throw them out on the street. I mean, get rid of them altogether. The proposal itself just seems like this bait and switch. There's no reason why they can't develop the property per se, but they should develop it in a conscientious way. All of the homes down at the bottom of this section, all of those are only going to be fed by school until they get it through up to Mason Creek. And then when that Mason Creek is opened up, what other restrictions are there going to be? 10 miles got a stop sign. These other roads have these bottlenecks. Now all of a sudden you're going to start putting cars on the street. Now, I didn't agree with his math necessarily, but the point should be well taken. There's literally one or two cars that drive up and down that road every single day, generally up on school. Now you increase it up to what? Two per every single one of these 115 homes, cars. I mean, you're up 250. What are the cars doing coming into Cuno right now? They're all bottleneck up in all of these different spots. And that's got to be something that you got to consider, is it's the cost of life for everybody in Cuno, not just the people on this road, not just the people in this subdivision. The number of housing developments that are going in over here are just choking the heck out of life. From a 5 to 10 minute commute up to Meridian, now we're talking 25 to 30. How many more minutes are we going to add by adding this subdivision? What about the school? How many kids are coming in the subdivision? Like I said, I got 6 kids. I'm outside the norm. But how many more kids are coming in that are going to be impacting this school such that now we have to talk about building more schools and greater restrictions on what we have? I know I've got no time, but the issue here is that there should be some conscientious expectation here. They're not going for the medium of 6 units. That's the highest density that they are going for in this area. It needs to be lower. If it was 2 or 4 per acre, that'd be far better. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Next, I have listed and marked to testify Ryan Hobson. You just state your name and address for the record, please.
I'm Brian Hobson, 2089 West Aldovia in Denali Heights. Thank you for allowing us to testify today. I echo many of the comments and concerns of my neighbors. To be honest, I probably would not be standing here today if Toll Brothers had been honest in their design and their notification in their notice for our neighborhood meeting. If they would have stuck with their original plan of R4 or lower, I probably would have not opposed this, but I don't oppose the development itself, but I stand in opposition for the density. And for many of the reasons that have already been spoken about, the traffic and the access to a somewhat landlocked piece of property in the middle of the section, the less dense, or the more, the density on the southern end of the development is a big concern as it butts up to Denali Heights, where there are no open spaces, there are no additional green areas in that lower space. It's a completely dense area of houses, and I would like to see that much less dense, especially in that southern area next to Denali Heights, for traffic reasons, for property value reasons, for access. The sprinklers and the irrigation pressure has already been mentioned. That's something that we've been fighting with. We've tried multiple different times of the day, and have a hard time getting proper irrigation pressure. So for all those reasons, I would, again, not oppose the development, but would ask that the design be redone, especially on the southern half of it, so it's less dense, more in that 2, 3, 4 lots per acre to match what Denali Heights is. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. That's all I had listed on the sign-in sheet. So we'd have the applicant come back up if you would.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. 5 minutes, correct? Thank you. Do my best to touch on all those comments. There were quite a few. I think the first thing I'll touch on is this concept that we've somehow changed the plan. We were required to give public notice at a neighborhood meeting of the proposed plan. As you all know, the idea behind a neighborhood meeting is general in nature. this is the concept plan, and that puts neighbors on notice. We get feedback, and then we apply for what the zoning and comp plan allows. From the notice to neighbors to today, the number of units has not changed. We originally proposed 114 lots. Today, it is still 114 lots. It did mention R4 zoning. We have changed that to R6, but again, no change in lots. So our density is still 2.75 units per acre. The reason we're going R6 instead of R4 is to change the dimensional standards of the lots and to actually provide more open space for our community, as well as more open space along the Cuna Canal regional pathway. With respect to Perfect Lane, I also heard quite a bit of misconception, I think, there. Perfect Lane is a public street that we are constructing on our own private land. We have a 50-foot wide flag there. All of the improvements that we will be constructing are on our property. They will not be on the Perfect Lane will be on our property. Next to our property, just to the west, is a private lane. Will not called Perfect Lane. That's right. We're constructing School Road, a mid-mile collector. So just want to clarify that. So School Road, ACHD mid-mile collector, will have 30 feet of pavement, so full two lanes of traffic, and on our side, an 8-foot sidewalk. So connectivity up our frontage, which is typical.
Folks, I'm sorry, you cannot speak at this time. The public testimony time is over.
We are constructing that mid-mile collector, which has been on ACHD's master street plan for more than a decade, and the precise location that ACHD has had it envisioned since they've prepared the plan, again, more than a decade ago. With respect to traffic, we did have a TIS prepared. We do not anticipate any cut-through traffic through Denali. It's extremely circuitous. We will be constructing our mid-mile collector with phase one. That full section will be constructed before any lots in phase one are proposed. With respect to the density transition, there were a lot of comments about that. Again, we're extremely low density for what your comp plan calls for. 2.75 in a medium density designation is on the low end. We also have a unique site here that Cuna Canal eats up a lot of the site from a density standpoint. We can't give up any more lots on the southern border. Otherwise, the project just doesn't make sense. We can agree to limit those homes to a single story if the commission would like, but that's all we can do in terms of transition. Heard some comments about pressure irrigation. Again, we think our engineers with looping the system, connecting Hubbard and Mason Creek lines will increase the pressure for PI as well as redundancy. Again, Kittleson and Associates did prepare a TIS, which ACHD reviewed. Neither agency are requiring any additional offsite impacts to address traffic. They found that the mitigation we're doing fully offsets our impact. More generally, you know, we agree with Mr. Clark and Mr. Angel that you are balancing interests here. We think that this project makes a lot of sense. Again, it's squarely within what the city has planned for this project. Mr. Angel spoke of his grandkids growing up here. We all know there's a housing crisis. We hope to provide first-class single-family homes for people to stay in Cuna and for their kids to come back and live close by. And I would stand for any questions if there are any.
Are there any additional questions for?
Yeah, I had possibly one. So along what you'll be constructing is School Avenue. It's going to be a long, straight stretch. What are your proposed mitigations for speed control along there?
Chairman Young, Commissioner Hennis, again, this is not a local road. This is a mid-mile collector. So yeah, we do not an ACHD won't allow any speed mitigation there. I mean, I think I would anticipate a speed limit there, you know, 35 to 45 miles per hour. But it is a collector road that's designed to move traffic.
No, you are correct. That's true. Okay. And I guess back to the bridge, the canal at the upper end of that. So we're effectively going to have a one and a half lane bridge until somebody on the west side contributes. But then you said it was going to be a fully functional mid-mile collector. But you can't with a bottleneck like that.
Chairman Young, Commissioner Hennis, I'm glad this slides up. If you'll notice as we are, you know, traveling north on the future road, see how it sort of starts to bend to the east? Mm-hmm. Where the canal comes across, the road is essentially fully on Toll Brothers property. We'll construct the full width of the canal crossing. And there is a planned roundabout for the intersection of Mason Creek and the future mid-mile collector, which, again, we'll be contributing the right-of-way for.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. What is the trigger for that roundabout?
Chairman Young, Commissioner Main, the trigger is essentially as we get to construction drawings for this project, if at that time ACHD is prepared to have the roundabout constructed, that's when it would be constructed. Until then, it'll just be a standard four-way intersection.
So there's no set amount of homes that would need to be constructed prior to that?
No, sir.
And when you put in the School Street extension there at the lane and a half, is that going to be striped as a two-way roadway?
Commissioner Young, Chairman Main, yes, that's correct.
I have one. When is the Mason Creek going to be? Is that in phase one that you're connecting to Mason Creek?
Chairman Young, Commissioner Garten, are you speaking of the mid-mile collector coming to the north?
No, to the north of the subdivision, that Mason Creek comes to an end, and there's going to be a roundabout, from what I understand, at some point. When is there going to be connection in phase one or two that you plan on connecting that for traffic outbound?
So the portion of Mason Creek that forms our northern boundary is fully constructed today. So we'll be stubbing into that constructed street.
Maybe just a clarification point, and I think it might clear up some misunderstanding on the width of school as it goes north-south there. When a lot of people are saying one and a half lanes, when it's constructed, it's the width of two lanes. But the property that's abuts your project has the sidewalk. It's just the properties that are on the west side of that remains without a sidewalk until, if at some time in the future, that's developed. Am I stating that correctly?
Chairman Young, spot on.
Thank you. Are there any other questions at this time for the applicant?
Yes. So when School Street is built out as a collector, what is the easement required for that?
Chairman Young, Commissioner Main. So again, all of the improvements we're doing for that roadway are on our private property, that flag. So no easements will be required. When we go to plat phase one, that road will be dedicated to ACHD as a public road.
Yes, I understand that. What I'm saying is, to be a collector, how far into perfect lane does it need to go as the final build-out?
Chairman Young, Commissioner Main, so I'll try to restate your question. Are you saying when the west half of perfect lane is constructed?
When the west half of School Street is constructed.
Okay.
Yep. So our flag is 50 feet wide, and ACHD standard street section is 70 feet wide.
Thank you. And one other question to get off things a little bit. Do any of the people who live on Perfect Lane have a gravity irrigation system that comes through the property that you're developing?
Chairman Young, Commissioner Main, we're not aware of any, but to the extent there are any, we're certainly required to maintain them as they exist today and improve them as needed.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions at this time for the applicant?
No.
Thank you all. Thank Appreciate you. It.
Close that public testimony at 7:02. And that then begins our discussion.
Well, I didn't see remarks from the school district. That concerned me.
Well, I looked as well. I don't know what that means as far as what their conversations have been, but.
Excuse me, commissioners, if you could please talk closer to your microphones.
Okay. But I guess looking back, it's some of the comments and one item that was brought up several times was closing and we're maintaining in low as the street, but even when Denali was built, that stub was put in there with the intention of that at some point being pushed. And that is in Ada County's, the ACHD's requirements, and that is something that we do with all the subdivisions to purposefully create that connectivity. That's not something that we can change or close off. That's been the intention since your subdivision was built. And as far as the length on it, it's about the smallest length of road as far as traffic mitigation. To get to it, you've got to make a 90-degree turn and get off it. You're making a 90-degree turn and probably a little over, not even 300 feet. So I think that street's okay. I think for me, I was asking the applicant the width of school on north south that does function as a two-lane road. You know, it's, I know when an application comes in, they say we're going to develop this, and the idea sometimes can be that, oh, that's just going to be a one-lane road, but as they indicated, it does function as a two-way road, and the bridge functions going through there. So as far as traffic going north-south, I think that through Denali, I think the way their streets are laid out, especially at the north end of their mm-hmm. subdivision, you're making a lot of turns. And people will look at that when they first move in, as everybody does, and quickly realize as school goes through, that's going to be your faster way. So I know when my subdivision was built, we did the same thing, and we know where you can and can't get through it, any kind of a speed thing. But that's just my initial traffic thoughts. There's other things to discuss, but what are anybody else's thoughts?
Well, I do kind of agree that I don't think it's going to be a main path to try to get traffic down through Denali. You'll have a few stragglers, but the majority are going to take the straight path out and down or up. And there's nothing we can do with Yenlo. Fortunately, ACHD has its own requirements and didn't listen to us. I do have a problem with some of the transition between the two, like mm-hmm. has been talked about. I mean, it looks like a lot, and it is definitely more than what's neighboring. I'm not sure. You know, I'd like to see a little better transition along that bottom, you know, space out the houses along there a little bit better. Because I don't think it transitions well, but then again, everybody's been commenting on the fact that it was R4 and everybody was okay with that, and we're technically at an R4 or below, but yet the only reason it's zoned as R6 is for dimensional, where you put the house on the lot, really. So I'm not sure how to mitigate that any further, or whether we need to, because it is still contained within R4. I mean, we've got a huge block of the Cuna Canal taking out a lot of that. So the numbers come out and work, but otherwise I like the subdivision. I think I wish we had a little more excess between phase 2 and phase 1. Unfortunately, the canal is a huge, huge problem to get across. They just don't allow a lot of cover, you know, crossing. They never have. It's a liability. So I understand that, but I just wish there was a way to do it more. Those are my initial thoughts.
Yeah, I would agree. The south end of that subdivision needs to be, I'd like to see that transition. Whether it be wider lots.
I agree with that. I think also, to me, it looks like two separate developments here on each side of the canal. I don't see any connectivity between phase 1 and phase 2. I'd like to see something more to actually make part of, or make phase 2 part of phase 1, since that's where all the green space is. As far as traffic, you know, the south side, they basically have one option. Everybody has to go out to School Street and then go to Hubbard, or go north, and at that point there's going to be traffic issues, especially if you're taking this entire subdivision out to School Street. And I have no idea when they would come up with a roundabout in that location.
You're right, it does look like two separate subdivisions, but when there's a body of water between the two, north and south, there's not much way to avoid that, so in my mind. I don't know, you know, if the irrigation district doesn't allow a footpath through there. You know, I know there'll be a sidewalk along the west side, but I'm not sure how else to make connectivity over basically somebody else who owns the swath of property down the middle.
Well, either connectivity or provide green space on the south side.
Yeah.
If you're a family with young kids, you're not going to send your kids down to the canal and have them try to get across it somewhere to get to the playground.
Comments or additional concerns?
Those are my main ones. The problem is I just don't have any suggested fixes other than, you know, revamping the plot.
Yeah, I'd like to see green space on that south side.
It's, quite frankly, it didn't sound real positive about the pedestrian access across the canal, and I understand that. But if that's the key to providing all the amenities on the one side on phase one versus phase two, that's kind of a...
Yeah, it removes that ability. So as you look at the south boundary, are there any thoughts for suggestions for alternative lot size or number to, that we could help offer?
Willie said he's prepared to do single level, which is a positive.
The lots on that left south boundary are wider than other lots already.
I think they're 75 wide.
Back up to the side. Some.
I know, that's the problem.
Well, I would think that if we took the lots on the east and west side of Yenlo and bumped those up, and then straight north of Yenlo, if we put a green space in there, at least from Denali, when you look down Yenlo, it would look more like it fits with Denali.
I guess if we can ask the applicant, do you have any idea on whether that's a possibility on spreading a little bit more out along that south boundary, maybe providing a little bit of green space on that phase two area, as we've been kind of discussing?
Chairman Young, Commissioner Hennis, you know, we're here for your recommendation of approval tonight. If there's any directives you want to give us design-wise, we'll certainly take that to heart and try to make it happen. I would point out we do have two nice pocket parks on the south side of the canal. So where you see the crossing, that is one of our pocket parks on the south side. And also as you travel to the northeast, there is another pocket park there on the south side of the canal.
Is that something that you'd be willing to put some amenity in for, like a small tot lot, something of that nature? Because right now all the amenities that the children can go to are up on the north side. So,
Chairman Young, Commissioner Hennis, absolutely. We'll look at amenities down there, and we'll also look at creative solutions to try to enlarge those areas a little bit. And Chairman Young, as you pointed out, there is connectivity to the north side on the 8-foot wide sidewalk that will run on the mid-mile collector as well.
Thank you.
Just one thing, too. I know I'm not asking a question. I'm answering the question I was originally called up for, so I think that's okay. We would, I think, not be in favor of open space as Yenlo comes in. I think that that wouldn't help the Denali folks, really, and I think it would be kind of an island of open space. We try to keep our open space, again, up against that canal as part of the kind of global amenity for the view shed and the open space. So I think we'd prefer to keep that block as is and try to add open space elsewhere. All along the irrigation facility will be fenced pursuant to city standard.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I think that
to at least providing those amenities and giving some direction to try to push that lot out for a better transition.
I think that offering some direction would be good. I don't know that I would be in favor of approving a motion. A motion of approval until I saw some changes.
Yeah, I agree.
I would rather see them before they went to council versus just saying, here's a list and take a stab at it and let council take a look at it, if that makes any sense.
So to have them come up with suggestions for us and bring another.
Well, I think we should be the ones to offer suggestions and then let them revise their plan.
Yeah,
is where my thoughts at this time.
Because that's like what we went through last time as well with the other project is we want to see the plot before it goes forward to make sure we agree with it. That was a suggestion, both legal as well.
But I think that we should offer some direction in doing that.
Well, is it as simple as we're trying to knock a lot off of each side on that south, basically take two lots out, put some tot lot amenities in the two pocket parks on the south side? I think that's giving some direction. I think that's giving some buffer. The single stories, a couple less lots, some amenities, I think that would suffice with what I'm thinking. Otherwise, we know they make a good product. You know, this is not going to be a shoddy subdivision by any means. They're one of the foremost in the valley, at least from what I've seen. So I'm confident that they'll give us a good product. But I think that would be my suggestion.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys feel.
I think if we take the southern boundary, lose two lots along that, and go with single-story houses on that location. But I think at the end of Yenlo, on those lots, we also need to improve the size of the lots and the houses in that location as well. And I'm really not fond of pocket parks. I like to see a park where you can actually throw a baseball or a football.
I think that's going to be a hard one to maintain and to try to do in phase two. I mean, we've got some good area there in those two, the two triangular parks along the canal. I think it's got some decent area. I don't think you could have a soccer game, but you could throw a ball.
I think the park on the eastern side is okay there. The one on the western side, it's not really accessible. It's back in a corner. I think that's pretty much an unusable area that they turned into a park.
And which one?
The one right along the canal on the left side.
Well, I mean,
but I think as you look at the pathways as the pathway that develops, not just in this subdivision, but as it goes through multiple subdivisions and the vision corridor that some of that creates, I think it helps with that.
Of course, the connectivity path is on the other side.
Right.
Well, it would be along the west boundary at that point because that's where the sidewalk's going to be. Because if the canal company doesn't allow that footbridge, that really is your only connectivity, is at that west boundary.
Mm-hmm. I almost need something through this lot. Right now, I see what Jim's saying is the only way to access that area is on the outside of the sidewalk coming in off of the cul-de-sac at the 4-acre place. There's no way to get from there to there.
To help connect the two green spaces, so to speak.
Yeah, I wonder if we can get a path in there at least to be able to.
Small one, just for that area.
Yeah, just a walking path to get in through there. So, I mean, we've got all this along the trees here, along the canal as it comes over. Just got to stop, so you can't get there. But these guys have to come all the way up and around to come back.
We have a list of items that we can. A bullet point, so to speak.
Well, what about Jim's other consideration with trying to do something with the lots right at the end of Yenlow? I think it's tough to me.
What do you mean? On either side of Yenlow or north of that? It just, because there's, what, 9C?
9C and 76C, is that what you're talking, Jim? Or are you looking at like phase 2-7?
Because those
Well, those are open. Those,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, already. Those are open. He's open. Talking about over here, I believe. Right.
But, I'm talking the lot right north of Yenlow. Right,
yeah, block seven. 4, lot 7.
Well, I don't know, I kind of agree with Jim's previous comment about Pocket Park. If we can increase part of what we were talking about on that, increasing some of the space on the west, would be most green space, increasing that in the pathway, or to connect those two other greens, but the two green spaces, and then that alleviates that. Well, that would truly be a pocket park. It's not on a corner. It's not anywhere. It'd just be.
Right.
Here's a patch of grass versus mm-hmm. enlarging some of those other spaces slightly to create some flow between the two.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got, just to the east of Yenlow, running north and south, we've got what looks to be a walkway, lined walkway there. Mm-hmm. We could move that to the west, where it would be directly across from Yenlow.
Slide those over. So you wouldn't really be increasing anything, you'd just be shifting it.
Right. It'd just give you more of a focal point.
Those would help address some of the concerns for the south portion, and it would just, since I think we can all agree that it would be an extreme long shot that the canal company is going to let a footbridge go over, especially if they're going to get a mid-mile collector going north and south about 400 yards away.
Yeah, they're never that helpful. Unfortunately.
I mean, I understand their
yeah
their points too, but.
Oh, I agree.
Can you do some calculating?
No. Well, then, I guess Mr. Chairman, I move we table case 22-03-AN and 22-04-S and 22-25-DR until. Well, I guess we should ask the applicant, how do we? With these items that we've talked about to the applicant, directed to the applicant, with these items that we've talked about in trying to mitigate this and get your resolution, would that, is that something you could bring back to us in at the next available meeting on the 9th?
I
Chairman Young, Commissioner Ennis, in conferring with my client, all of the kind of design recommendations we've heard tonight, we do think we can make those accommodations between now and City Council if we were to get your recommendation tonight. Otherwise, the next available hearing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, if we have these specific items, do we need to review it? Because we're not leaving anything kind of ambiguous here. These are very specific items.
Specific.
You know, maybe that's what we do. What do you guys feel? Because it's not something, I mean, if they come back and show us exactly what we're asking for, we're like, fine.
Right.
But as long as they conform, you know, give us that, and that's what the City Council
and that's
reviews.
What we're recommending.
With these recommendations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Specific recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
But it changes some of the lot dimensions and that. So I know it's an additional 2 weeks, but I think I'd rather see it prior to sending it to council.
I agree with that.
Now that we're talking plot, I think we need to see that.
That's my thought. Anyway.
Well, not sure what we're going to look at this. It's going to be too much different than kind of what we expect, but
I guess I'm just kind of deferring back to some of what legal was said in the past. If we're going to make some recommendations, it's best that we look at them prior to sending and approving them back to council.
Yeah, that's true. It has been an issue on projects in the past. So,
and Andrea Nielsen for the city attorney staff comment on this matter. You're certainly free to do either. Provide specific direction and send it to City Council, or you can elect to keep the matter within the purview of the Planning and Zoning Commission for an additional date so that you can review the plans prior to making the final decision for City Council. Either are correct procedurally. However, if you keep the matter for Planning and Zoning and you, there are new changes that are provided to the Planning and Zoning Commission, if there are members of the public who would like to comment on those additional changes, they would be free to make additional comments at the next meeting prior to making the final decision and making your final findings on this matter. If you make the directions and just send it to City Council, then the regular procedures will be followed with allowing the public to comment at the City Council hearing. If you have any further questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Thank you. That's a good point.
Great. Okay.
Well, with that in mind, I think if we're specific, and with that information, I think that if we were specific, then as just indicated, the public will be able to view all that prior to council and can comment on that at council hearing.
Excuse me, Commission. For the record, Jessica Reed, Planner 2, 751 West 4th Street. A question for the city attorney. Would it be procedurally correct for us to reopen the public hearing so that testimony could be received further, or would we reopen it at the next date? Andrea Nielsen, it would be procedurally correct if the commission were to keep the matter for the Planning and Zoning Commission's purview for the next matter to reopen the public hearing for the specific purpose of receiving comments based on the revisions. And people would be allowed to use their 3 minutes to address those revisions. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
So that would be the option of tabling it with these mm-hmm. specific changes.
I'm just not sure if that would
yeah.
be be of any assistance to anything, like, ultimately.
Yeah.
Because even any public testimony at that point can only be on these specific items.
I think that whatever, if we condition it, if that turns into being a noun.
Then they have full.
That is, yeah.
Full recourse at city council to go ahead and go into everything. Yeah.
I think that we can do that.
Let's see if I can do this. Okay, Mr. Chairman. I move we recommend approval to the City Council of 22-03-AN and 22-04-S for Braeburn Creek subdivision with the conditions as outlined in the staff report and with the changes to be shown to the City Council with regards to the preliminary plat of removing two lots on the southern boundary in order to give more space and to provide single-story houses at that side, to provide tot lot amenities at the two pocket parks on the phase two, and to shift the path at block four, lot 10C, over to behind lot, was it four, five, and six, shifted two lots to the west. And lastly, to provide a path for connectivity between the cul-de-sac in block two and the pocket park on the western boundary, which would be lot 30, block two, along that, between that and that block and the canal.
Okay. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And with... Sorry to interrupt, Commission. Can I get some clarification? I just want you to repeat the sure. The lot 30, block 2 condition.
Right, to provide a pathway to walk from the cul-de-sac side between lot 30, block 2, and the canal to access the park. Understand? Okay. And then lastly, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-25-DR design review for Braeburn subdivision with the conditions outlined in the staff report and the additional conditions that were previously stated of removing two lots on the southern boundary to provide single-story houses along that south side, provide the tot lot amenities along phase two, the two pocket parks, and to shift the path at block four, lot 10C, two lots to the west between lots four, five, and six, and then to provide a pathway between the cul-de-sac and the pocket park alongside lot 30, block two, and the canal.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Sorry to interrupt. Did we get a decision on the ultimate compliance for the design review?
Oh, the alternate compliance. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, they're providing, basically, it's just in the open space. They're providing and distributing a little more between deciduous and evergreens. So,
yeah, I think their description was
so applicable. Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the alternate compliance.
Do we need to redo the whole motion for the DR then?
I think you can provide just the clarification with, okay. And unless there's a close vote, we won't go back to the original motion.
Okay. Just a motion to clarify the addition.
And I move we clarify the
the design review to include the approval of the alternate compliance for the landscaping as provided in the packet.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Good catch.
Okay. Thank you. And it's all hooked up. Here, if everybody wanted to exit a moment, but then I'll look up here on the agenda. Okay. Then next up under.
My apologies, Chairman. Folks, you are free to go if you would prefer.
That's what he's trying to say.
But you're welcome to stay.
Jessica is a lot more subtle.
For the next.
Thank you for all coming and your input, by the way.
Okay. Okay. Then next up under business items, we have, it was tabled from July 12th, 2022, case number 20-09-DR design review for 1159 and 1221 North Jack Mill, or Jack's Sim Mill. I never say it right. Sure. So,
good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. For the record, Jessica Reed, Planner 2751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. Applicant had, based on a site plan revision requested by the Commission on July 12th, the applicant requests design review approval for two commercial shells. Building number one at 1221 North Jackson Mill is proposed to be approximately 6,133 square feet and will have a drive-through on its north side, while the building number two, 1159 North Jackson Mill, is proposed to be approximately 8,148 square feet and will have a drive-through on its south end. The applicant has removed the drive aisle between the two buildings, which results in a 20-foot walkway that increases ease and safety for pedestrians. This change has provided the space needed to provide a full 24-foot wide drive aisle on the north side of the site, outside of the drive-through, that would mitigate the Commission's concerns for traffic and pedestrian safety. The number of standard and ADA accessible stalls remains above and beyond those required in CUNA City Code 5.9. One trash enclosure has been moved to the northwest corner of the subject site, and its location provides adequate access for drain and sanitation. No other changes have been proposed to the landscaping. And upon review of the submitted provision, staff finds the project is in compliance with CUNA City Code Title 5, Comprehensive Plan, Idaho Code, and the requested revision by the Commission. Staff recommends the Commission approve case number 22-09-DR with the conditions as outlined in staff reports. And I will go ahead and answer any questions you may have.
The building elevations all stay the same. Everything's just
pushed. Correct.
Okay. I don't have any questions.
I don't have any questions.
No questions. Okay. Are there any questions for the applicants?
No, I think what's been provided exceeds what I was looking for. I like the trash over where it's moved now. It's going to be useful. I think it's really good. I think this works.
Yeah.
I appreciate the. The revision on this one, it's what we're looking for.
All right, then. Okay.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-09-DR design review for 1159 and 1221 North Jackson Mill Avenue with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, you too. Thanks for the patience.
Thank you for bearing with us through that, you guys. I appreciate it.
Then next up, we have case number 22-19-DR, design review for Loma Ridge Pool House. And that again is Jessica.
Good evening, commissioners and chairman. For the record, again, Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, Planner 2. Toll Brothers requested design review approval for amenities within the Paloma Ridge subdivision, as well as entry monument signage. The proposed 882-square-foot pool house will contain two restrooms, pool equipment, shower, and storage. The proposed materials and colors provide a neutral yet pleasing aesthetic. Immediately adjacent is an approximately 1,088-square-foot open-air pavilion proposed to continue the same materials and colors. Additional amenities around the pool house include a tot lot, pickleball court, and covered mailboxes. Staff finds the proposed project meets the design requirements listed in CUNA City Code 5.4, and that a fully improved parking lot with 17 standard stalls and two ADA stalls will serve the pool house and its amenities. Landscaping for the proposed parcel appears ample where needed to provide privacy under a buffer, as well as meeting the standard landscaping requirements. Staff finds these items meet the requirements in CUNA City Code 5.9 and 5.17. Let's see if I can say requirements five more times. The proposed entry monument and wall on each side of the main subdivision entrance provides a step up from your typical monument signage. A 5-foot signage wall area moves into a 2-foot curved wall and ends in a decorative pillar with lighting. The proposed materials, colors, and decorative aspects meet the requirements outlined in CUNA City Code 5.10. And upon complete review, staff finds this proposed application to be in compliance with CUNA City Code, Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code. Staff would recommend approval of case number 22-19-DR with conditions as outlined in staff's report. And with that, I will answer any additional questions you have.
Are there any questions for Jessica at this time?
I don't think I have any. No, I was looking for lighting and I find it, so I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. Is the applicant here? Is there anything you'd like to add? Okay. In case that just,
I think it looks nice. It's well put together. I think it's got the good colors, materials. I like the way that it's presented. I think it's a nice little area. I'm an engineer. It's pretty.
I agree. I think the landscaping along the east and the south boundaries helps offer some relief to the homes along there. I don't have any issues with things as presented.
Well, I think it looks good. I just have one comment. When I look at the rendering, the white just jumps out at me. It almost looks like it should be a dentist's office. If I had one suggestion, I'd go with a little bit of a darker complementary color.
On the pool house.
On the pool house, yeah.
That's why I'm an engineer.
There you go.
I don't know that. I think it looks good. It's good amenities for them. In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-19-DR design review for Paloma Ridge Pool House Pavilion and Entry Monument signage with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carried.
Thank you.
seeing nothing else on the agenda, is there anything staff has or
no.
any comments from anybody else? Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that this meeting comes to adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I was going to look at one of you two.